Welcome to Insights for Eternity with Pastor John Edmiston. In-depth Bible teaching that will prepare you for life and for ministry. If you would like some formal training, which is very affordable, go to his website at harvesttimeinstitute.org. That is HARVESTIME Institute.org. Now, open your Bibles as we listen to today's lesson.
Hi, this is John Edmiston with Insights for Eternity. God bless you all. And we're working through a series on the one another commands in the New Testament, how we should treat one another according to the gospel. And today's commandment is be at peace with one another. Before we do that, let us pray. Father in heaven, may your grace and peace rest upon this time in the Word, that we may understand what God has prepared beforehand for us. Bless this time now in Jesus' name. Amen. So here, when we're looking at being at peace with one another, there's a commandment in Hebrews 12 and verse 14. It says, pursue peace with one another, with all men, and the sanctification without which no one can see the Lord. So it's a balancing act. You have to pursue two things at once. You have to pursue peace with people, but you don't want to compromise. You want to be able to pursue God's truth and God's sanctification. Without that, you can't see the Lord. So if you want to get into heaven, you have to be holy, you have to be sanctified, you have to be saved, and you can't give up your salvation just for the sake of a relationship, just for the sake of being at peace with certain people who might criticize you. So as a Christian, you have to be able to take a certain amount of criticism from sinners. And it says of Jesus that he endured great contradiction of sinners against himself. So Jesus was peaceful, he was loving, he was kind, but because he was anointed, because he had the Holy Spirit upon him, the demons did not like him, the wicked, powerful people did not like him, and he had many contradictions and many persecutions in his life. And he would say some very straightforward things, and he's our example. At times he would speak great truth and power to people, and they would get very angry with him when he turned over the tables of the money changers and things like that. Jesus was always truthful, and at times people would dislike him. On the other hand, he always reached out to people. He was a friend of sinners. He was helpful to the poor and the marginalized, the people that were going through tough times in life. So Jesus is our example. He was at peace with many people. He fed them. He blessed them. He healed them. He was a man of peace. He was not a man of war. He did not go around picking fights this way and that. Instead, he was a very peaceful, loving, kind person. But because he was holy, because he was sanctified, because he carried a strong anointing and mission, there were people that would criticize him. And same with the Apostle Paul, the Apostle Peter, who was thrown in jail, and many others. We find they had to stand up for the Lord, and the Apostle Peter would say, we must serve God rather than men. And that's his principle there, I think, in Acts chapter 4 or chapter 5. We must serve God rather than men. So when push comes to shove, you must serve God. And you can't be at peace with some people. There's some governments in the world that don't like Christians. There are some people around who pursue sinful lifestyles that don't like Christians. So you can't always be at peace with people. So it's pursue peace as far as it is possible for you to do so. So we want to be people of peace. We want to be people of kindness, grace, and we want to live in peace and not be a nuisance to our neighbors. But at the same time, we have to realize that we're in a world that we cannot completely be at peace with. In fact, sometimes it says in the New Testament, come out from among them. And that's talking about the Babylonian lifestyle of what the Bible calls spiritual Babylon, excess, drunkenness, fornication, all pornography, all that kind of stuff, worldliness, the pursuit of riches instead of God, all that kind of Babylonian lifestyle. We have to come out from them and be pure. But what's the spiritual basis for being at peace for Christians? Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 1 to 6. I, therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to have a walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavouring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. So we have one God. No matter which brand of Christianity you have one God, you have one Father in heaven, one Lord Jesus Christ, one baptism. So no matter what you're thinking, no matter what you're going through, no matter your theological differences, as long as the people are genuine Christian believers, they believe in the Trinity, they don't believe in excessive and crazy doctrines, your brothers and sisters in Christ, you are in a spiritual unity with them. The Holy Spirit is the source of that unity and the bond of peace. So how do we maintain that unity, the unity that God's given to us, then, and that we are one body, that is one spiritual body, the church, and we have one Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and we're called in one hope of our calling, that's the resurrection from the dead, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all. So we have a basis for peace. We have a basis for unity. And that's a spiritual basis. When we look on our brother or sister in Christ, there's some fundamental things that we share with them. They're born again and we're born again. We're both committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're both saved. We're both children of God. So we should not be fighting and squabbling. So how do we do this maintaining of the peace? It says, with all lowliness and gentleness. What does that mean? Well, lowliness and gentleness is the opposite of pride and cruelty. The haughty person, the puffed up person, is full of pride and cruelty, but the spirit-filled Christian is full of lowliness and gentleness. We treat other people nicely. We are not harsh with them. We are not proud with them. We don't put them down. We don't deploy sarcasm. We don't cut them to pieces in public. We don't shame them. We are gentle to them. We are aware of their weaknesses. We build them up. We don't shame them. We make them feel that you are kind and gracious and good to them. With long suffering, we put up with people instead of lashing out with them. Bearing with one another in love. We have to put up with the faults of other people. We have to bear with them, even if they're very, very different from us. Now, I am by nature a bit of a slightly organized person. I like to use good management principles. I want things in an orderly fashion. And a lot of people are not. A lot of people, particularly with some spiritual gifts, tend to be a little less organized, and I get irritated by the less organized people. And so I have to realize that God's called them to be that way. He hasn't made everybody like me, and that's fine. It's fine that they are the person that they are, and I have to take a deep breath and not be irritated by the fact that they're not on time or not doing this or not doing that. And on the other hand, they have to put up with me and my personal attributes as well. So we've all got to put up with the stresses and strains of being in a Christian community, endeavouring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So God has created a natural unity between Christians, and we are to maintain that. Now, Christian unity is not organisational. You can't say, okay, we're going to all be one because we all go to the same church or the same denomination or have the same doctrine. You can be very fleshly and carnal. You can be full of backbiting and nastiness. Even if you've got the same doctrine, you can argue over the church furniture or the carpet or the kind of songs you're going to sing. So you need to get beyond that. You need to maintain the unity of the Spirit that comes through Jesus Christ, that comes through the Holy Spirit, that comes from being born again. And you can recognize, you can intuitively recognize this other person is also a believer, and you need to be in unity with them. And if you're in disunity, you need to repent of that. Disunity kills ministry, it kills churches, it kills relationships, it kills families. It's a terrible thing that tears people apart. And you need to realize, if you're a Christian family, that you need to be together. You need to eat together, pray together, do things together, forgive one another, and not get all upset over tiny little things. You see, we get upset over a doctrinal difference, a personal difference, what someone says you can eat or can't eat or cannot drink. They get into all sorts of fights over minor issues. And we get upset because things are not done precisely the way we want them to do. And so we have to be forbearing, we have to be forgiving, we have to tolerate other people who are very, very different from us. Now, in the church in Rome, there were some particularly big differences which Paul sorts out throughout the epistle and then particularly in Romans chapter 12. So the Roman church, it's in Rome, so there were Gentiles in the church and they were very rich. They worked in the government in Rome, they had big houses. And on the other hand, there were Jewish believers in the church, and the Jews had been persecuted in Rome, and the Jewish believers were often not that well off. They seemed to have been somewhat marginalized, and they were very fussy about what they could eat and couldn't eat. They wouldn't eat this, they wouldn't eat that, and the Gentile believers would say, of course you can eat pork, and they'd say, no, we're not touching that. And so there were some big disputes between the Gentile believers and the Jewish believers over matters of faith and practice, whether people could eat meat that had been sacrificed to idols, or whether they could eat this or that, whether they could go down to the local butcher shop in Rome there, where the meat was nearly always sacrificed to some Roman god, and buy the meat and just ignore the fact that it had been sacrificed. And some would say, no, you can't do that. It's been sacrificed to a god. So there was a lot of fights and squabbles that had sociological understandings, status understandings, etc., going on in Rome. So let's go to Romans chapter 12, and we'll have a look at a list of things there which Paul tells them to do in order to keep the peace in this very bitterly divided church. So Romans chapter 12 and verses 9 to 21. It's quite a list. So bear with me as I read all this out. Romans chapter 12 verses 9, right through to the end of chapter verse 21. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honour giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but neither give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy hungers, feed him. If he thirsts, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So we see what's going on here. There's all these commandments here to bring a church together where people were fighting, they were squabbling, they were taking revenge on one another, and that all needed to stop, and they needed to put up with one another in the bond of love and to love one another, and that love needed to be real. They needed to love one another without hypocrisy. So part of that, one of the things that would bring unity was being hospitable and kind and meeting one another's needs. So down here it says, be of the same mind towards one another, do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Now, as we all know from our daily relationships, pride is a real deal breaker when it comes to being at peace with one another. We'll say, oh, my ego was hurt, my pride was hurt, I was put to shame, I can never speak to that person again, or I can't go to that church again because my pride was injured. So you need to get past injured pride if you're to be at peace with your brothers and sisters in the Christ. You have to associate with humble people. You have to associate with the lesser members of the church. And if someone makes a mistake and calls you the wrong name, or doesn't give you a title, or doesn't call you bishop or apostle or pastor or something like that, don't be offended. Just let it pass. Your pride is not worth a broken relationship. You're there to do good for your brothers and sisters in Christ. And the other thing here, it says, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. So what happens if someone's nasty to you? They persecute you, they're rude to you. What are those people who are toxic and they always somehow manage to find their way into our churches. So a toxic person is often a hurt person. Hurt people hurt people. So they've got a lot of grief and baggage in their life. They've been hurt somewhere along the way and they are lashing out at you and they're persecuting you and they're saying nasty things about you. What are you to do in return? You are to bless them. You are to say, God bless you. I love you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. I bless you in the name of the Lord. Why do you do that? You do that for the sake of your own spiritual life, because you do not want to be eaten up with resentment and bitterness, anxiety and stress. If you keep on fearing the people that are nasty to you, if you avoid them, you run away from them, you think nasty things about them, then you are going to be eaten up by stress and anxiety and resentment. And the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't want you to do that. He wants you to be full of the grace of God. He wants you to have the spiritual strength to bless those who curse you. And this is quite a discipline. Many years ago, I was in a certain country and where I was doing some ministry, and this lady turned up who'd come from Cambridge University and thought she was very superior to me, and she was very sarcastic and would put me down in public. And I wanted to lash out. I wanted to tell her a thing or two about her behavior, but I was teaching through 1 Peter, and God told me to turn the other cheek at that time. So I did, and he told me to bless those who cursed me, so I did. And so I treated her nicely, and after 3 weeks, her attitude changed, and she changed as a person. She changed in her heart and her mind, and she went back to Australia a different person from the person that had encountered me at the start. She had been very hurt by life, and she took that out on me, and by being gracious, she turned around and had a very different attitude to everything. And so I think that's something that I learned then, and every now and then I pull that out and I try it again. I bless those who persecute me. I make my mouth say nice things to them, even though I may be upset and I may be hurt, and you need to do that. It says here, be of the same mind towards one another. Where was it going? If it is possible, as much depends on you, live peaceably with one another. Live peaceably with people, and as far as it depends on you. Some people you cannot live peaceably with. Some people are just cranky and difficult, and no matter what you say to them, they're going to be mad at you, and you have to put a little bit of distance between you and them, and that's unfortunate. But your aim should always be to be at peace with them, to build relationships, to build bridges with them, and to be kindly affectionate to them, and to embrace them with brotherly love. And some people are very resistant to brotherly love because they want to live in their own pride and their own values. And I've met people like that. It's particularly among people that are very wealthy. They don't want anything to do with me sometimes. They're off in their own pride and they look at me as a small person. And it's very hard to have any brotherly relationship with them because they see me as a nobody. There might be people like that who treat you in ways that are very alienating and harsh and hard. Well, you've done your bit. You're trying to be at peace with them. If they don't want to be at peace with you, that's their problem between them and the Lord, and you don't have to take that particularly personally. So in Rome again, there's some big differences over food and drink and things like that. So going a little bit further along in Romans 14, 17 to 19, it says, "For the kingdom of God is not food and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things which may edify another." So there's all these disputes, and he says, these disputes don't matter. It's not about food and drink. It's about righteousness, joy, and peace. So let's try and build unity. Let's pursue the things that make for peace. Let's catch each other doing things that are positive. So you might be disagreeing with someone about the colour of the carpet at the church, but you might find them out feeding the orphans and the widows, and you say, that's great, you're out feeding the orphans and the widows. I'm going to put aside my difference over the colour of the carpet in the church, because you can see this person has a heart for the Lord. Another person might be very loud and irritate you, but they're a great evangelist, and you say, well, that person's a great evangelist, I'm going to support them and bless them, even though they're very loud and they irritate me. So you don't focus on the faults. You focus on the good things and you pursue the things that make for peace. And the phrase for that is catching people doing something right. So when you see your brother or sister doing something right and good, you affirm that. You pat them on the back and say, that was great. You led that person to the Lord. That was great. You fed that orphan or the widow. Or that was great. That Bible teaching was terrific. I affirm that. I bless that. So instead of looking at other people's faults, you look at what they're doing right and you focus on that instead. One of the laws of spiritual life is what you focus on increases. So if you focus on critical things, the critical things will increase your mind and will alienate you from other people. But if you focus on people's good points, you say, that's good, then you'll become friendly. Then you'll become amicable. People will like you because you're constantly boosting them. You're constantly encouraging them in the good things of the Lord. And you're putting aside their faults because everyone knows that they've got faults. So catch people doing things right. And that will build unity, it will build peace. You'll pursue the things that make for peace with one another. And over in Romans again, Romans chapter 15, and we'll go to verse 5. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore receive one another or accept one another, just also as Christ has accepted you to the glory of God. So we're to accept one another just as Christ has accepted us. So someone might come into the church who's different from you, but you've got to remember that Jesus has accepted you with all your faults. So you've got to accept them with all their faults. So the person who does things differently from you, thinks differently from you, looks differently from you, has been accepted by Jesus. And you have been accepted by Jesus, so you have to accept them just as Christ has accepted you and to be like-minded instead of contrary-minded. The opposite of like-minded is to be contrary-minded, always squabbling, always disputing, always finding fault. We're not to do that. We are to be like-minded. We're to see, have one heart, one purpose, one God, one Father, one baptism, and so on. We are to be like-minded and to see the good in one another and to accept one another. And this is a journey for each of us because we're all brought up with different ways of doing things. Now, early on in my Christian life, I went to pastor a Chinese church. And I was raised in a very old-fashioned British home. And in this home, we had very formal table manners. And you would never, ever lift your bowl off the table. You would always eat your soup and you would never touch the bowl. It would be on the table. You would use your spoon and you would eat your soup that way. But in Chinese culture, it's the opposite. You're supposed to raise the bowl up to your mouth and eat the food, and if you don't lift the bowl off the table, you are lazy. You are a slob if you don't lift the bowl off the table. So I took 3 months before I could lift the bowl off the table because my mother's voice was in my head. Every time I tried to lift up the bowl off the table, I just felt terribly bad. I was doing some terribly sinful thing. But in order to fit in with this Chinese church, which I was pastoring at the time, I had to lift my bowl of soup or noodles or whatever the Chinese food we're eating off the table and get the chopsticks. I learned how to use chopsticks. So I had to lift this bowl up the table, up to my mouth, and eat with the chopsticks. And that was very difficult. It was very difficult for me to adopt a different way of doing things just to fit in with that church. But in order to be at peace with the people around me, I had to eat in a different way from the way I was used to and to get rid of the training that I had at my home. Now, there's nothing wrong with the training I had at home. That fits in Australian society. That was the right way and the good manners in Australian society. But it wasn't the right way when I was at a Chinese church and people wanted me to eat Chinese food in a Chinese way. And sometimes you have to do that. You have to accept that other people have a different way of doing things, and sometimes you just have to go along and do that. So you are to be like-minded. You're to get in there and have unity one with the other instead of saying, my way is better than your way. So sometimes there'll be a terrible relationship, a terrible breakdown of relationships in the church, and we need to reconcile with one another. We need to heal with one another. We need to get people back and be a peacemaker so we can be at peace with one another. It says in the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. So one of the things you want to do as a Christian, especially if you've been a Christian for a while, was to be a peacemaker in your church, helping people to reconcile, helping people to get their relationships back together again, helping husbands and wives and children and fathers tolerate each other, love one another, or helping the church as a whole to get through a doctrinal division or a little political dispute in the church. And you're to be there, a person of peace and grace that keeps the church together. So one of the things that gets in our way is the way we look at the world, the kind of wisdom we have. And in James chapter 3, it talks about two kinds of wisdom. And one is bad and divides people, and one is good and doesn't divide people. So going to James chapter 3, it says, "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." So God's wisdom is pure, it's peaceable, it's gentle, it's willing to yield. So if you want to be a peacemaker, you need to be willing to yield, you need to be righteous, you need to be impartial, you need to be not hypocritical, and you need to have the wisdom that flows from God's heaven into your heart and your mind. Then you'll be able to fix people's relationships. Now the opposite is demonic wisdom. "But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, so confusion and every evil thing will be there." So if you're self-seeking, if you're envying, if you're full of strife, then that's going to destroy community. It's going to be confusion and every evil thing will be there. You won't be a peacemaker. So if you've got to decide on the kind of wisdom that you want to have, the kind of wisdom that you want from the Lord. So you're going to go to God and say, "Fill me with godly wisdom. Help me to be a peaceful person who makes peaceful decisions and makes peace with other people." You're going to say, "Lord, fill me with your peace so I can be a peacemaker." Instead of being divisive, you're going to unify people together around the gospel. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all. You're going to help people to live in peace with one another. And you're going to ask God for the godly wisdom that is from above, that you will be pure and peaceable, righteous and full of good fruits. So your life will be a peaceful life. So don't think that you're important. Don't think that your pride is more important than the unity of the church. Don't think that your own ambitions, your own drive, your own need to succeed is more important than your relationships with other people. The most important thing is to love one another as Christ has loved you. That's the number one command in the New Testament. Love your neighbor as yourself. And so you're to live in love. You're to live in peace. You're to be a peacemaker. And then you will be called a son or a daughter of the living God. And this is John Edmiston signing off with Insights for Eternity. God bless you all.
Thank you for listening to Insights for Eternity with Pastor John Edmiston. We hope that you have been blessed. May the Lord strengthen you as you do his work. If you want to contact John Edmiston, just send an email to johned@cybermissions.org. johned@cybermissions.org. May the peace of God be with you.